Well, hello, everybody. Pastor Adam again. We've got a fine December 13th, 2024, where I am in my home in Jacksonville, Florida. It's about 60 degrees Fahrenheit and kind of windy. Sun's out, though. It's a beautiful day. And so let's go to the Lord and honor him. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for having us here. There's something you have for us to do, and we are asking for your help in making sure we discern properly to do your will and to fulfill our purpose in this day, to honor you in your kingdom. And it's in your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, that we come to you. Amen. So I titled this today, Do You Hear What I Hear? Now, you know, I have found that when we tell and retell, you know, those like really significant stories of our life, there are just some details we just can't leave out of the story. Whether it's the name of the, you know, hotel you stayed, or the name of the hospital where your children were born, or what you were wearing when this event happened, et cetera, et cetera. There are just some details that may seem insignificant to others, but for us, those telling those stories, we can't leave them out. And I want today to talk about the story of the Nativity, the birth of Yeshua, the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is really no different. I mean, I think many of us, if not all of us, know the story, right? Joseph and Mary, we know they went to Bethlehem. We know there was a star. We know there was some wise men who came. We know that there was, you know, no room for them at the inn, and that there was a manger. It would still be an important story without any of those things mentioned, because the heart of this story is this, that God loved us so much that God became one of us so that we might all love God and therefore and then one another. Okay. So having said that, the Gospels kind of share it, you know, a little differently. The Gospels tell us about a baby. They tell us about a baby born to an unmarried couple, and they tell us this baby was born under extraordinary circumstances. They tell us where it happened and where it didn't happen. It wasn't enough for the Gospels to just say he was born, or even he was born in Bethlehem. They tell us he was born in a manger and that there was no room for him at the local hotel. Now, newsflash maybe for you, but a manger is not that much, okay? It was sort of a container for the hay. I grew up in a farm, okay? It's kind of where the feed is put for the animals to eat, like for our cows. If you had, you know, where this is where sheep, pigs, goats, all the type of animals, that's a name for the device that holds the food. Okay? And it kind of smells. It's not sanitary at all. It's not a crib or a bed or anything like that. It was perhaps the most unexpected resting place for a newly born Messiah. Because God, on God's first night, is one of us. But as much as we remember that manger, we also remember why the Messiah, Jesus, was there. We remember that when Mary and Joseph got to the inn, they were told there was no room for them there. So now I don't know about you, but for me, I've kind of always wondered if there's a little bit more behind that, like a little bit more behind that no room for them thing. I mean, have you ever speculated if maybe there was room at the inn? Maybe the innkeeper had a couple of rooms left over that he was saving for somebody else. But when he saw this couple and noticed they were unmarried and that she was obviously pregnant, he kind of just right then and there said, I don't want to rent those rooms to him. I'm just speculating. I'm just saying, I don't know. We don't know. Or maybe if there weren't any rooms left, they could have found someplace for a woman who was 9 months pregnant and about to give birth, but they didn't do that, did they? And so Jesus was not born in a more comfortable setting. Now, there was a church called the Church of the Nativity located at the spot in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And I'm not sure, I've seen it, I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but different Christian traditions, right? The Roman Catholic tradition, the Greek Orthodox tradition, the Armenian Apostolic tradition have monks that lay claim to different parts of the church, and there is sort of an uneasy truce amongst them all. And apparently, to this day, these monks and priests sometimes have fights over this space. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus wants for the place he was born. I'm not even sure if that's the exact place he was born or not, or if it even matters. But what I am sure of is that we remember that place where Christ was first born. But you know what we don't remember? We don't remember the name of that inn. I don't know, was it the Bethlehem Hotel? Was it the Road to Nazareth Convention Center? Was it called the Holiday Inn? I don't know, and we'll never know. But I often wonder if the innkeeper ever realized who they turned away. I wonder, you know, if a few decades down the line, they realized that when Jesus's mom had come to the door, they hadn't given her a room. Because if this was just a story about an innkeeper who missed a chance to open the doors to the Messiah over 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about it today. But this isn't about what an innkeeper did or didn't do 2,000 years ago. It's about what God did and what God still does. And then it's about what we do next. Christ still comes into this world. Christmas still happens. It doesn't just happen once. It happens every single day. And what I'm getting at here, folks, is sometimes God knocks at our doors, and we are asked if there is room in there for him. Sometimes we look out and we don't really like what we see. Or we don't like what it would mean to let Christ in, and we close the door and say, there's no place for you here. I think this happens quite a bit. For some reason, it just doesn't seem that we're always, you know, rushing about. Around this time, we're just always in such a hurry around this time of year. We're bombarded with information on, you know, our phones, our iPads, our computers, and other devices that beep messages to us constantly. Sadly, too many of us take these things when we're driving, as if driving isn't difficult enough. I mean, we're driving over a ton vehicle at very fast speeds, but we seem to think, oh, let's just add holding a phone in our hand and talking. Like, hopefully, if you do that, you have those devices now in your phone, in your car, I mean, where you don't have to touch your phone and you can talk while driving. That is still a challenge for so many, but it's better than having the phone in your hand. And God help you, please don't text while driving. Please. I beg you, please, just don't. If you've been doing it, stop. You know, and all these things are going on in our lives, all this busyness, and we still wonder why we never hear from God. Well, I contend that it's a very good and wise idea to unplug from all of this and turn it all off. And we need to make that part of our daily routine. That's what we should be doing. But sometimes, even when we don't really want to, even when we're not sure we want to open that door, we tend to do it anyway. And that matters, folks, because Christmas may be about the story that we read. It may be about Joseph and Mary and the baby in the manger and no room at the inn. But the story teaches us about more than just an event that happened a couple thousand years ago. It teaches us about opening ourselves up to what God is trying to do in us this very moment. And it's about telling God that even if we don't know what it means yet, there is room for him in our lives, and we want to be part of what God is doing. You know, when you really process this, the real story was extremely raw. What I mean is it's just like you and me. The real story was quite different than our plays and our nativity scenes show. Jesus was born in like a barn or a cave. It was cold and damp. He was not wrapped in clean sheet. He was wrapped in cheap rags. The stall where he was born would have smelled of straw and, quite honestly, manure. God incarnate was born on the dirt floor of a filthy, like, barn setting. And see, there's a very good chance that if you are listening to this, some part of you wants to be a part of that raw life experience. Some part of you wants to be part of love made real, of God being active in our world. You want to be part of this story of you, of that part of you that can change. Some part of you wants to be part of the Christmas story. Maybe not the one that's written in the scriptures with the shepherds and the manger and the wise men and the star, but a part of the Christmas story nonetheless. Again, folks, one of the reasons you are listening is because you are drawn to a people that believe with every part of their being that God is still speaking today. And furthermore, we believe that God is not only still speaking, but that God is still active in this world. That God is still writing the story of what happened when Christ came into this world as the Prince of Peace and what happens after. And God wants you and I to be a part of that story. That you have a part to play in this big story. Because if you are hearing my voice, then that means you're still here. So you have something to do instead of just sitting around. The question is, do you want to be the inn that closed its doors, or do you want to be something else? Scripture tells us that in the fields, the shepherds heard that the baby had been born, right? The angels informed them of that. And then they got up and they came to the manger and saw the new thing that God had just done in the world. That's who we should want to be every single day. So I have a few questions to ask you. Do you open your presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Do you do like stockings in your house? Do you check those every day, or do you check them just on Christmas morning or on Christmas Eve? Do you put up a Christmas tree? Is it artificial or is it natural? Do you decorate the outside of your house as well as the inside? Now, these questions I just asked is simply pointing out what your own personal Christmas customs are, so to speak. I would think it's safe to say that every family has them, and Christmas just wouldn't be the same without them in your family. I think that's safe to say. I hope you can see my point. While Christmas customs are meant to get us in the holiday spirit, they can easily become Christmas chores. Just another list of things we've got to do. And if that's happened to you, it's time to set aside those customs and get back to the basics. Getting back to the Christmas basics is extremely simple, folks. Celebrate your Christmas just like the shepherds did, which is what? Just listen and ask yourself, do you hear what I hear? The night of that first Christmas must have seemed like any other night to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. All the sheep had been gathered and they were settling down for the night. So as things got quiet for the night, the shepherds, you know, they'd let down a little bit. They'd keep one eye on the sheep and the herd, but they'd likely settle down and rest a little bit so that, you know, they could fellowship with the other shepherds, get some food, build a fire, you know, stay warm, fellowship a little with their peers. So that normal quiet routine as the day was ending after the sunset, however, was shattered for them that night when an angel of the Lord burst onto the scene with the bright light of God's glory. I mean, the angel was uninvited and unexpected. That's how the angel arrived, just as God continues to enter into our hearts today. How did the shepherds react to this heavenly invasion? They were kind of scared. I don't think that's surprising at all. I mean, what's your first reaction when the phone rings in the middle of the night? You're not thinking it's a good call. It's usually your immediately thoughts go to the worst possible thing, doesn't it? Right? It could be a friend calling to tell you that your son or daughter was in an accident. It could be a relative informing you of an other relative who's not doing very well. Well, in that kind of context, in that very same way, the shepherds must have feared the worst when they saw God's messenger standing before them. Had he come to announce that it's judgment day? I mean, just process. I mean, if so, were they ready to be judged by the righteous, holy God? But that's not why the angel had come. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Here's what Scripture says. But the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I bet just by listening to the message, the attitude of the shepherds changed, right? Their fear was probably replaced with joy. The Savior had been born in Bethlehem, just as the Old Testament prophets said it would be, the city of David, right? By listening and taking to heart this message, the shepherds learned that the scriptures could be trusted. Aha! They also learned that this child was not just human, but also the Lord. But most of all, I think the shepherds were overjoyed because this Savior had not just come to save a select group of people. The angel just informed them that the news was for all people. Now, you know, when we put ourselves in that day back there 2,000 years ago, there's no doubt, there certainly wasn't a decorated Christmas tree. That all that stuff happened here over the last 150 years or so. There probably weren't no treats either. There probably wasn't a turkey cooking. But the shepherds were happy anyway. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get us to look at, what made that first Christmas such a merry one? I contend it was listening to the angel's message. In the same way, our Christmas will be merry if we celebrate as the shepherds did. And you might be going, okay, how? By listening and taking to heart the angel's message. Jesus has come to bring peace to the world. He did that by dying on the cross and forgiving all of humanity of their sins. I'm talking about the sins of unfaithfulness, the sins of selfishness, the sins of laziness, the sins of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I mean, folks, anything you and I do, anything we think or say that indicate we care about ourselves more than we care about God, well, we need God's forgiveness then, and God's forgiveness plan is like no other. God does not forgive only after we have reformed ourselves. Oh, gosh. Thank God for that, right? Uninvited and unexpected, God intervened in history to forgive us and give us the promise of eternal life in heaven by grace through faith in Jesus. God's forgiveness gives us the reason to change our life. But the shepherds weren't just content to hear the message, were they? They wanted to learn about the Savior, and so without delay, they went to Bethlehem. Now, stay with me here, but to me, this is very interesting. These shepherds didn't debate whether or not they had time to go or whether it was convenient for them to go. They didn't even seem concerned about who's going to watch the sheep. They rushed to find out more about their Savior. Well, folks, we too should not settle to just hear about the Savior, but to hurry and see the Christ child. Don't be satisfied just to make note of Jesus once a year in the Christmas carols or in the Christmas Eve church service. But come and learn about him every time you meet. God's plan of salvation is awesome and has many facets to it. The more you listen to it and learn about it and then apply it into your daily life, the more joy it brings into your life and will prepare you to face the difficulties that we all have. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with opening presents or sharing Christmas dinner with people you want to be around. Those customs can never replace the real reason for our joy at Christmas, which is the birth of Yeshua, the birth of the Christ child, the Savior that rescued the world from sin. In other words, folks, don't let the customs crowd out the basics. I want to encourage you this time to celebrate like the shepherds did by listening to the angel's message. We should be alert so we are not the one who closes the door to our heart when God is about to do something new. But rather, be the ones who hears about it and comes running. In other words, when God works in this world, be a part of that story. In other words, how do you do that? Well, if you will serve in some capacity, I guarantee you, you'll be part of that story. If you can deny the self, in other words. I mean, just like that piece of ground in Bethlehem, we should want that everyday God encounter that becomes holy, and not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. I'm just telling you, I want to be part of that story. And I think you should want that too. It's sometimes very easy to forget that the baby born that night grew up to become an adult. And when he did, He was asked what God would ask us to do. Well, here is his answer in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus speaking here, he said, love the Lord. People were trying to find out, what are we to do? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, open the door, open your heart, and let all in. If Christmas, folks, is about God coming in the flesh, and this is what God tells us to do to our face, I would contend that this is the ultimate Christmas message. See, when the Christmas tree is put away, when Christmas dinner has been eaten, when the nativity sets go back into their boxes, these same things remain, right? Once again, the ultimate test of how well we have celebrated Christmas this year will not be in what was under the tree or anything like that. It will be in how well we opened our hearts and let the Christmas message into our hearts. May we do that this Christmas and continue to do that always. I want to end this today with a short story. There was this pastor who met this young boy carrying a rusty cage in which several birds fluttered nervously. The pastor inquired to the young man. He said, hey, son, where did you get those birds? The young boy replied, well, I trapped them out in the field. Well, the pastor then asked, well, what are you going to do with them now? The boy said, well, I'm going to play with them, and then I guess I'll just feed them to the cats we have at home. Well, when the pastor offered to buy them, the young boy exclaimed, mister, you don't want them. They're just little old birds, and they can't sing very well anyway. The pastor replied, listen, I'll give you $20 for the cage and the birds. Oh, the young guy said, okay, it's a deal, but I think you're making a bad bargain. So the exchange was made, and the boy went away whistling, happy with the $20 he just made. The pastor took the cage into an open field, opened the cage door of the small cage, and let the struggling creatures soar into the blue. The next Sunday, the pastor took the empty cage into the pulpit and used it to illustrate his sermon about Christ coming to seek and to save the lost, paying for them with his own precious blood. The pastor said, that boy told me the birds did not sing very well. But when I released those birds and they soared into the sky, it seemed to me they were singing, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Well, that is exactly the meaning of this Christmas season. And the message is the song of those birds. It's the song sung in every Christmas carol this season. Redeemed. It's the meaning behind every gift given under the tree. Redeemed. It's the word the shepherds heard. Redeemed. It's the assurance Mary received. Redeemed. It's the star the wise men followed. Redeemed. You and I have been trapped by sin. But Christ has purchased our pardon. We all have been redeemed. God bless you all, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas.